on this frequency.
You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Well, hello there. Hello, welcome back. Welcome to another episode. Thank you for joining us. I don't underestimate the huge choice that you've got in podcasts that you could be listening to. So the fact that you're here, I really appreciate it. I appreciate you taking the time, and I hope you enjoy it. This is another episode with a guest. I've got a guest with a slight difference. This is a guy I've known for a few years now, and very inspiring. And you'll see why when we bring him on. As I always do, I ask for a little bit of a bio. This is a slightly different bio. And again, you'll see why when we bring this gentleman on. So his story, he was born in 1984 with spina bifida hydrocephalus, which means that the vertebrae are damaged, stopping any signals getting to his legs. He is paralyzed from the waist down, and he spent most of his first 8 years in the children's hospital, mainly in intensive care. He had a hole in his back, until surgeons operated on his spine and closed his back up with a kind of putty, which grew out as the hole healed up. Then there's the hydrocephalus part of his condition, which means he's got water on the brain. Now, this was managed by a tube taking the water from his brain to his stomach, which was fine until he got blocked around 10 years ago, giving him the worst headaches imaginable, the worst headaches he's ever known. The pressure could have killed him. Fortunately, the doctors put it all right. If you're thinking, oh my word, how do you create a life when you're dealt that hand to start with? That's exactly why you're going to want to listen to this episode as I bring in my guest, Ben Kelly. Hey, Ben, are you there, sir? How are you doing?
I am here. I'm great, thank you. One thing that I just wanted to add to that little intro, absolutely amazing. Thank you for saying it in such enthusiastic way. I am paralyzed from the waist down, but it's not literally from the hip down. I can feel bits and pieces. I just can't walk, if that makes sense. And it's all due to those vertebrae being broken and the signal not getting, but they get through, but they don't get through completely to my legs.
Gotcha. So that is an important distinction. So you do have feeling, but you just don't have full control of the muscles. So you can feel stuff, but you can't walk.
Absolutely.
Oof, not very pleasant. And that's why you're calling into us from bed today. It's not because Ben's lazy. It's because he has to. So we've heard your bio, but who is Ben? Who's the man behind the bio? Who's the guy behind all this?
So me, I am a disabled person with those conditions that you said. And I basically, my backstory is I went through what I was brought up to believe called a special school. It's basically a school for the disabled because back when I was a child, there was no provisions to go into mainstream school. So they created special schools to house people that with all kinds of conditions, from physical like mine, right through to people that have got worse conditions and different conditions, I should say. To learning difficulties right through to people that can't feed themselves. So I went to school with a variety of people with lots of different conditions, and that is where my life began, really. And then going through life, I was in that school, so the one school had different sections of my childhood, really. So whereas an average mainstream child would go to first school, secondary school, high school, college, etc. I went to one building, and each individual section of that building with the different type of, with a different educational process. So first school was in one part, the secondary school was in another part, college was, or sixth form was in another part. And then I went to a college for the disabled in Cheltenham, where my business trip just before that actually started, and that's kind of like my childhood up to college, about 20, because I left college, I left school when I was 17, 18 with no qualifications, and then I had to go to a mainstream college to do a BTEC National Diploma to get into university. So that's where my, the start of my my being is, really. And because I was, because I was dealt with the disability that, that I've got, I could absolutely do my GCSEs and things like that, but because I was in the school that I was in, they didn't have the provisions to be, to put people like myself through school, through GCSE, because there wasn't the availability, the budget, there wasn't the help, or there was no point in the school putting them on, because there was not enough people to go through it to make it viable, I assume.
Okay, I get you. Yeah, so you had the ability, you personally had the capacity and ability to do those GCSEs, etc., but the school, because it had to cater to a broad spread of people, presumably there weren't enough people who would have been able to. Just out of curiosity, had you been born maybe 20 years later, so you're kind of going to school now, do you know if situations are the same? Would you still be in a special, a dedicated school, or are mainstream schools more able to address needs, or do you know what the situation is?
So I think the situation is now in 2024, we are absolutely better, but I don't think we are there yet, in my opinion. So the school that I went to has actually now developed into a college. So now I believe that they are better equipped at helping people with disabilities through education. But when I was born in 84, as you said, so I was in school late 80s, early 90s, and it just wasn't quite there. So I had to go, I didn't get any GCSEs at the school. I went to a college for the disabled, which put me through my GCSE in English and Math. But because I didn't have the teaching at the right age, I failed them. So then I went to a mainstream college and did BTEC National Diploma in Computing. And I did a GCSE in computing. Those coupled together got me to university, because when I was late teens, early 20s, I was like, because I'm very aware of my condition, and I'm very aware of what my condition means and what my boundaries and my abilities. I was like, right, okay, well, God loves a child, right? So I want to be the next, Bill Gates. So I did my BTEC National Diploma in Computing. So I went to university to do coding, computing, and to computer programming. So I got there on the course, looked at the coursework, and was like, yeah, this doesn't make sense. Because you've got, we were speaking prior to this, you've got a background in computing, you were saying. So you would understand lots of letters equals this, that, and the other, and binary, and all this sort of stuff. It made absolutely no sense because it's not logical.
So I get you, yeah.
I quit that, and then I went, stayed at the university, and I basically went to web design. And that's more logical in terms of this word, this word, this word equals blue, rather than a load of letters and numbers equaling blue. It made more sense. But, and I'm sorry if I'm steamrolling here, but then I basically couldn't do that because I got something called cellulitis, which is basically an inflammation of the skin. And the remedy for that is antibiotics and bed rest, especially to the extent that I got it. The problem that we had is I wasn't given the right drugs at the right time. So I kept trying this, the recent pandemic we've had. I totally get the whole school homeschooling thing, because I did it back then, and I struggled because I wasn't in the classroom learning what they were teaching. I was just giving it online. It didn't fall in. I couldn't understand it properly. So I actually failed at web design, but I kept trying each year, and eventually, because my nurses told me that I'd have to go into hospital, and I'm going to try and dumb this down here, but because I was told that I was going to lose my legs via an operation rather than basically the infection had spread too far. So I left the university with a few choice words, telling them I was absolutely not going to lose my legs under an operation. Went back to Cheltenham, got on the right antibiotics, and within 3 months it cleared up.
Wow. Wow.
So that just gave me the, that's because I'm aware of my own body and I know that this wasn't right. So that was my educational system getting through to university. So that was my backstory educationally. Me as a person, I'm a go-getter, and that's why I wanted to explain my backstory, because I think it showed me as a person that I will never give up. You put a hurdle in front of me, it's not about, oh, never mind, let's give up. It's about, right, how can I get around it?
Yeah, that's... And that certainly comes through with your story as well, which we're going to, I mean, the observant watching this on YouTube will have noticed that you run a company, and we're going to explore that in just a moment. We're going to explore the company you run, what it does, and also how you overcame all those issues, that your resilience, your mindset, your go-getting attitude. We're going to explore that for the rest of the episode. Just before we get to there, just to give people a little bit of context, are you able to share with us just a little bit about what daily life is like for you with this condition, how it impacts daily life and what allowances you have to make, etc.
Absolutely. So my condition stops me doing everything that that an able-bodied human being can do. I say everything within limits, obviously. So I can't get in and out of bed easily on my own. So I have carers. The pandemic hit, so social services upped my allowance for my care to 4 times a day. So prior to the pandemic hitting, I was having morning and night, being helped into my chair and then helped back into bed at night. Pandemic hit and I wasn't allowed to go and get my own shopping. So at its height, I was, because I've got a bad leg, I'm in bed, which is why you see me in bed now for those that are watching on YouTube. But so my condition deteriorated and it hasn't got better in 6 years or so. So basically they have upped my care to 4 times a day because I wasn't allowed to go and get my own shopping and stuff, as I was saying. But now what my daily life entails is carers coming in the morning, getting me, helping me get ready, get washed, showered, etc. Then I have district nurses because I have wounds to attend to. That will then be typically midday. Then I have a little bit of time, probably about an hour or so, which I will then do paperwork or stuff on the computer to push my business forward. Then it's lunchtime, so the carers will come back and do me some food, and the laundry and whatever else needs to be done. And then I will have, that will bring us to about 2 o'clock-ish. Then I have typically between 2 and 4:30 to do more work towards my business. And then I'll have tea. And then I will have more time to do whatever I want, really. Watch TV, more towards my business, answer inquiries between probably that 4:30. That will be take us to about 5 o'clock. And then between 5 and 9, 9:30, maybe 10, when the carers come back to help me to bed. Or to help me get ready for bed if I'm already in bed.
Yeah.
That is the day to day. And then if I am on network meetings, which are typically on the computer still, I will just cancel the relevant calls from the carers to allow me more time to go to those meetings. And then they prepare, let's say it's food. That, let's say it's lunchtime, they will give me a sandwich or something in the morning, so I'm fully prepared for when they come, if that makes for when they should have come, so I can have my sandwich after the meeting. When I get into my DJing, I typically will cancel my tea and bed call, and then I will get up at lunchtime, get into my chair, go and do my gig, and then at the moment my dad, because they will come and help me to bed, because the care provision isn't available at 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense, and that leads us neatly actually into exploring your business. So obviously, we picked up, there's entertainment, there's DJ. What is your business, Ben? What is it that you do?
So my business is BJK Entertainment Limited. And I'm basically, I say basically, because it's changed, I am a DJ. So I serve personally from Staffordshire to Somerset. and I do everything from children parties, parties for adults, weddings, corporate events, and helping charity events too. So that is what that is me. But then we had the pandemic, and that killed all the business off. That literally stopped my business in its tracks completely. Wasn't even allowed to do anything at all. I did one or two online parties, but it didn't work because it just the interaction wasn't there, so I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. We were then allowed out to be able to do what we do. Now, prior to the pandemic, I started my business in 2013. So I've had, like, up to that point, what about, let's call it 10 years in business. I can't do the math off the cuff. So I had all that experience of doing that in-person DJing, and over that time, I'd met lots of other entertainers, singers, DJs, magicians, bouncy castle owners, and more. So the pandemic actually gave me a chance to press reset. Now, reset to me, I launched a product called Party in a Box in the early pandemic stages. I did something like £500 worth turnover of that. And that was brilliant. It gave me purpose again to actually do something with life. So I did that, and it went brilliantly. But then a company trademarked it, so I can't do Party in a Box anymore.
Oh, no.
What I've done is I've developed it further, and now it's just a party box within my business that I sell as a product rather than the full name.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. And we do those for all occasions, anywhere in the UK, because I can post it for any event and for any eventuality. I also designed party planners for all kinds of parties. So your wedding, your engagements, your kid parties, your 21st, any kind of planner that you need within entertainment, I did that. I also, I'm going to become a DJ again within that catchment area, and I absolutely do that still. It's relaunched, it's going great. But then I realised that I'm actually, because of the pandemic, I didn't just like sit there and go, oh no, what I'm going to do. I networked all over the country via Zoom and via online platforms. So I actually know a lot more entertainers all over the country. So now I organise I organise entertainment for special occasions anywhere in the UK.
Nice.
And that is what I, so now I've got the party boxes, I've got my DJing, I've got that entertainment, sorting out entertainment all over the country, and I'm also looking at equipment hire as well.
So yeah, so covering the entire range and helping lots of people, both customers but also other entertainers as well, as you sort of a bureau in some ways. Wow, that is really impressive. I remember the Party in a Box coming out and thinking, now that is a brilliant idea. Yeah, that was, as you say, right there, the pandemic times. So yeah, you had this pretty poor hand that you were dealt, and yet you've created all of this stuff. Just in the last few minutes, because obviously time unfortunately marches away with us, as it always does. But I know everybody's different, and what works for one person isn't necessarily going to work for others. But it's always interesting to see people's approach and take on things. How did you? I mean, I know you've got an attitude of you never give up. You will always pursue what you're after. How do you cultivate that mindset and the resilience? Talk us through that.
So what I now this might trigger a few people, and I'm really sorry if it does, but I society has or did have this mindset of a disabled person not being able to do much. I absolutely go against that. I do not want to be seen as that typical disabled person that is just watching TV all day and doesn't do anything with their life. I absolutely appreciate there are some disabilities out there that can't do as much as I can, that it's its own little kettle of fish on its own. But I have a disability and I can do something with me. I just can't use my legs. Mm-hmm. Everything else works, everything else is fine. But I just can't walk. I have an electric wheelchair and I refuse to be that disabled person that is just put in a room to watch TV all day. A bit of a funny side of it, really, I suppose. There's too many repeats. I get bored out after a while. So that is my motivation, and of keep going and keep striving from the best I can be, because I don't want to be that stereotypical person sat at home watching TV.
I like that. What I'm taking from there is you're not coming from the perspective of, oh, woe is me, I've got all of these problems. You're coming from the perspective of, okay, this is what I've got. If I don't pursue my ambitions and my dreams, if I don't really work for it, it's going to be even worse because I'll end up there. So that gives you the drive to go, you know what, I'm going to create these things. I'm going to do the best I can with what I've been given.
Absolutely. So my part of my backstory is I got into entertainment because I was voted on to the student union at the College for the Disabled.
Yeah.
And that's how I fell into it, because they couldn't get into town. So I ended up buying the equipment on the student, but on their budget, becoming the in-house DJ and having 200 students who couldn't get into town, and I created a nightclub feel on campus.
Yeah.
So then from there I went into the Prince's Trust enterprise course to learn the business acumen. They gave me money to get my first equipment, and that's how the business started. But it was that initial 200 students,
yeah,
that couldn't get inside and couldn't do things for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That gave me the passion. Like, I get where these people are,
yeah,
but I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. Typical, because I've seen variants of disabilities. I want to bust the typical stereotypical. I don't want to be the stereotypical what people think is a disability in 2024.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. Ben, thank you for taking time out of your day to share some insights into your story, share with us what you do, and hopefully it will have inspired and motivated people of all abilities to know that we can always play the hand we've got. We can always take what we have and create something even more. For people who want to find out a bit more about you or about your entertainment business, or who maybe even want to get in touch, what is the best way for them to do that, Ben?
So I have a website, which is www.bjkentertainmentlimited-ltd.com, I also have a Facebook page which you can search, which is BJK Entertainment Limited dash Your Party Your Way, because I believe it's your party, it should be your way. Mm-hmm. And they have an email address of the same there, but it's just Ben at BJK Entertainment Limited. ltd.co.uk or .com.
Brilliant. Brilliant. All of those links, as always, are in the show notes for this episode. You can get them by going to keithblakemorenoble.com/show and look for The One with Ben Kelly. You'll find links to all his, you'll find all his links in there. Do check him out. Check out the website. Connect with him on Facebook. And have your party your way, as Ben says. Ben, thank you so much. Really appreciate you taking the time out to be with us.
No problem at all. It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you for giving up your Saturday for actually doing this.
Thank you so much. And thank you, dear listener, dear viewer. Hope you've enjoyed it. Hope you've picked up a few tips. Do remember, give us a like, a comment, share it. Subscribe on your favorite platform. Give us a review. It all helps. And until the next episode, take care, look after yourself, and as Ben says, remember to have your party your way.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.